After Diabolus offered to turn Mansell into a heartless legalist, with Diabolus as Emmanuel's deputy in the town, Emmanuel rebuked the deceiver with all the godly reasons this couldn't be done. When Diabolus heard this and perceived that he was exposed in all his deceits, he was confounded and utterly puzzled with embarrassment. But having the fountain of iniquity within himself, rage and malice against both Shaddai and his son, as well as against the beloved town of Mansoul, does he admit defeat? No, he encourages himself in how he could refresh his battle against the noble Prince Emmanuel. So then, now, there must be another fight before the town of Mansoul is taken. Come up then to the mountains, all you who love to see military actions, and behold the fatal blows given by both sides, while one seeks to hold and the other seeks to make himself master of the famous town of Mansoul. Diabolus, therefore, having withdrawn himself from the wall to his forces within the heart of the town of Mansoul, Emmanuel also returned to the camp, and both of them, after their various and different ways, put themselves into a posture fit to give battle one to another. Diabolus, filled with despair over retaining the famous town of Mansoul in his hands, resolved to do whatever mischief he could, if indeed he could do any, to the army of the prince and to the famous town of Mansoul. For alas, Diabolus had no intention of bringing happiness to the silly town of Mansoul, but the utter ruin and overthrow of it, as is now plain enough to see. For this reason, he commanded his officers that they should then harm Mansoul with whatever mischief they could render, tearing men, women, and children, when they see that they could hold the town no longer. For, said Diabolus, we had better quite demolish the place and leave it like a ruinous heap, rather than to leave it to be inhabited by Emmanuel. Emmanuel, again, knowing that the next battle would end in his being made master of the place, gave out a royal commandment to all his officers, high captains, and men of war, to be sure to show themselves men of war against Diabolus and all the Diabolonians. But they were to be favorable, merciful, and meek to the old inhabitants of Mansoul. Incline, therefore, said the noble prince, the hottest siege of the battle against Diabolus and his men. So the day arrived, the command was given, and the prince's men stood bravely armed, and they did as before, advancing their main force against Eargate and Eygate. The word was then, Mansoul is won. So they made their assault upon the town. Diabolus also, as fast as he could, resisted from within using the main forces of his power, and his high lords and chief captains for a time fought very cruelly against the prince's army. But after three or four notable charges by the prince and his noble captains, Eargate was broken open, and the bars and bolts used to secure it against the prince were shattered into 1,000 pieces. Then the prince's trumpets sounded, the captains shouted, the town shook, and Diabolus retreated to his hold. Well, when the prince's forces had broken open the gate, the prince himself came up and set his throne in it. He also set his standard there, upon the very same mount that his men had cast the mighty slings. The mount was called Mount Hearwell. The prince, therefore, took up residence there, abiding right beside the gate. He also commanded that the golden sling should yet be used upon the town, especially against the castle, because Diabolus had retreated there for shelter. Now, from Eargate, the street was straight, which went directly to the recorder's house, exactly as it was before Diabolus took the town. And right next to his house stood the castle, which Diabolus had turned into his irksome den for quite a long time. The captains, therefore, quickly cleared that street by the use of their slings, so they had a clear path right up to the heart of the town. Then the prince commanded Captain Boanerges, Captain Conviction, and Captain Judgment to march immediately up the town to the old gentleman's gate. Then the captains entered the town of Mansoul in the most warlike manner, and marching in with flying colors, they went to the recorder's house, which was almost as strong as the castle. They also took battering rams with them to position against the castle gates. When they had come to the house of the recorder, whose name is Mr. Conscience, they knocked and demanded entrance. Now, the old gentleman, not knowing fully as yet what their intention was, kept his gates shut the entire time the fighting was going on. For this reason, Boanerges demanded entrance at his gates, and receiving no answer, the captain gave it one stroke with the head of a ram, making the old gentleman shake and causing his house to tremble and totter. Then Mr. Conscience came down to the gates, and, as best he could, with quivering lips, he asked who was there. Boanerges answered, "We are the captains and commanders of the great Shaddai and of the blessed Emmanuel, his son, and we demand possession of your house for the use of our noble prince." And with that, the battering ram gave the gate another shake. This made the old gentleman tremble even more, yet he dared not open the gate. Then the king's forces marched in, namely, the three brave captains mentioned before. Now, the recorder's house was a place of much convenience for Emmanuel, not only because it was next to the castle and strong, but also because it was large and faced the castle, the den where Diabolus was, for the fiend was now afraid to come out of his hold. As for Mr. Conscience, the captains were quite reserved with him. As yet, he knew nothing of Emmanuel's great plan, so he did not know what to make of the situation, nor what would be the end of such thunderous beginnings. To be continued. While Diabolus might initially come with flowery words and fruitful plans, his path is always deceit and his payment always destruction. Incidents regarding the demonic world record the last-ditch effort of Satan's minions when overthrown by the Lord Jesus. See Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 27, and Mark chapter 9, verses 25 to 27. How does knowing this encourage you to live a life that trusts in Jesus? Next, why does Mr. Conscience shake when Emmanuel's captains use a gospel battering ram to strike the entrance of the gates of the old gentleman? Read Psalm 119, verse 120, and Proverbs 9, verse 10 to help with your answer.